Good morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to our VBS, which begins on July the 28th and runs through August the 1st. The time is 7 to 9 p.m. each evening. There will be classes for 2-year-olds through the 6th grade. There will also be an adult class. The theme is Walking in Sunlight. As we consider what the world needs most, we see the most basic need is to return to the God who created us in His own image, Genesis 1:27. It is really amazing that such an awesome God would even consider accepting such sinful people as His own children. Yet that's exactly what He does as we submit to Him in obedience to the gospel, Romans 1:16. Imagine a God who would love us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have life everlasting, John 3:16. Please note that John 3:16 is stated in the context of one being born again, John 3:3-5. Thus, if one truly believes what the Bible teaches about Jesus, they will be born again in compliance with God's will. With all sins forgiven, one is now spiritually pure and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, 1 John 1, verse 7. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. He admonishes us to come out from among them and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you, and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty, 2 Corinthians 6:17 through 18. When we separate ourselves from the sins of the world, we are imitating Jesus in our lives, 1 Peter 2:21. Thus we become godly people by imitating Jesus. The salvation offered is not something one earns by works of merit, Ephesians 2:8 through 10, but it is offered as a free gift of God's grace. However, it is still conditional, carrying with it much responsibility on our part. Our great responsibility is to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, Titus 2, verse 12. As we observe the world in which we live, we readily recognize that our society closely resembles the ungodly state of affairs found in the apostles' lifetime, Romans 1, 18-32. The sins mentioned by Paul here have reached epidemic proportions even today, and the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. One of the ways by which God makes Himself known to the ungodly world is through the godly conduct of His children. Jesus, in speaking to those who follow Him, said, "You are the salt of the earth," Matthew 5:13. He also said, "You are the light of the world," and He goes on to say, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works," or your godly lives, "and glorify your Father in heaven," Matthew 5:14 and verse 16. As salt which preserves and light it to illuminate, we allow people to see the goodness of God through our lives. Satan tries to keep people away from God by causing religious division, which directly opposes the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ found in John 17:20 through 23. His prayer was and is that all who believe that the Holy Bible says about Him may be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in thee, that they also may believe in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Also, the world needs godly people because this is one of the ways by which God justifies His righteous judgment on the world. A day of judgment is certain, Hebrews 9:27, at which time each of us will give account of himself to God, Romans 14, verse 12, and his judgment will be righteous, Revelation 19, verse 2. To give every one according to his works, Revelation 22, verse 12. Because we will answer to God for all we say and do in this life, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of, or by the authority of, Christ Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, Colossians 3:17. Godliness is not mere outward appearance. In the Bible, we read of a group of people who looked very religious outwardly, but in reality, they were very sinful. Jesus said to them, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" Matthew 15:7 through 9. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, it speaks of those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The point is this: true godliness is the evidence of a pure heart manifested in right living as ordered by God's inspired word, the Bible. Notice the instructions to godly conduct in the following scriptures. "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart," 2 Timothy 2:22. If you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5:2 and 3. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8. Friends, all these scriptures tell us that godliness is not just an outward appearance, but a life which flows from within. The world, which needs God so desperately, has no greater testimony to the existence of the one true and living God than God revealed in the lives of his godly people. God never asks us to do something that we cannot do. Like the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. We usually do those things we really want to and set our minds to do. And the fact that so many have and do live godly lives proves that we are all capable of doing it if we want to. This makes being a godly person a matter of human choice in response to the divine decree. Joshua 24, verse 15, John 3:16, and Revelation 22, verse 17. We become godly by following the example set forth by Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2:21. Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:16. But let me ask you, friends, how does one become godly? Well, first of all, by following Christ as our example. 1 Peter 2:21 through 25 says, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. One becomes godly by receiving God's word into our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. One becomes godly by taking heed to the teachings of God's grace. Titus 2:11 through 12, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. One becomes godly by growing in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. One becomes godly by studying and showing ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. One becomes godly by living the Christian life. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One becomes godly by adding the Christian virtues to our faith. 2 Peter 1, 5-11 says, And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an inheritance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One becomes godly by faithfully assembling with saints. Hebrews 10:22-25 tells us, Let us draw near with a pure heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. One becomes godly by praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. One becomes godly by abstaining from fleshly lusts that war against our soul. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. One becomes godly by humbling, submitting himself to God and resisting the devil. James 4:7-9. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Godly living carries with it the promise of life that now is and that which is to come. 1 Timothy 4:8. Godly living promotes the very best way of life for all the world to see. This way, the life teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:12-13. Yes, friends, what the world needs most is godly people, and the world has the right to expect more of Christians because we are, 2 Corinthians 6:18. It is through godly living that the world sees God's light shining through the darkness, Philippians 2:15-16. Nothing does more damage to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ than ungodly people claiming to be the people of God. And nothing does more for his cause than for us to practice what we preach. Can you imagine a world without godly people? If we do not live godly lives, we have no right to claim to be God's people, and we fool no one but ourselves in the process. Friends, mark it down. When there are no true Christians or godly people left in the world will exist no longer. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.